More from Lake Effect Now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. Before the break, we heard a report on how the Ware Nature Center in Franklin is working to rid itself of destructive invasive species. Now we travel up north to the River Edge Nature Center near Newburgh, where another big fight against an imported predator is underway. Summer is usually the time when scientific research moves out of the lab and into the field, and for budding forest entomologist Todd Johnson, it gives him a chance to try out a new method that will hopefully stop what seems to be the inexorable progress of the emerald ash borer. The research intern is working under the tutelage of UW-Madison scientists as they attempt to control the spread of the beetle. WUWM's environmental reporter Susan Bentz donned her wellies and bug spray and met Johnson in the field, or more accurately, in the forest, 30 miles north of Milwaukee.
Scientists discovered emerald ash borer in Michigan in 2002. Since then, the beetle, well, lots of beetles, have decimated tens of millions of ash trees across multiple states. As you've already figured out, Wisconsin has not been spared. Here at River Edge Nature Center, efforts are underway to attempt to stop the beetles from sucking the life from all of its ash trees. This summer's release of predatory wasps that are native to the emerald ash borer's original habitat is the latest attempt to thwart the beetle. Before heading out to the field, UW research intern Todd Johnson, a curly-haired, bespectacled fellow, cracks open a blue cooler to reveal his precious cargo, two varieties of very, very small Asian wasps shipped in from a USDA lab in Brighton, Michigan.
We have two species right now. I'm going to be releasing a total of three species. But the reason why they're kind of separated in time like that is because they attack different stages. These attack the larvae, so the immature emerald ash borer, whereas the one that I'm releasing later in the summer, Obius, attacks the eggs. These two species are Spatheus agrioli and Tetraspicus planipennisi. Spatheus are a little bit larger.
Excuse this interruption. I just want you to know there will be no test at the end of this story. Now, back to Spatheus agrioli.
They lay their eggs outside of the larvae or on it. Will actually paralyze the larvae. They hatch, they have little larvae immature stage of their own, and they actually eat the emerald ash borer. Then when they have had enough, they form little cocoons and then eventually pop out to be what you see right here. These ones, the smaller ones, it looks like they have a really menacing stinger. But that's actually their egg tube. What they do is they use that.
Did I see here, for instance?
Yeah, those are the females.
Okay.
And what they do is they penetrate the bark. It pushes right through. Using whatever host-finding mechanism that they have. They then find the larvae and, you know, these guys will lay their eggs.
The imported wasps made their way to the United States after a team of American scientists set out to find them in China.
There was an exploratory survey for these wasps, and their names were only given, you know, in 2005, 2006, when these wasps were first identified. And when you think about that, these are tiny little things. Because they're so tightly associated with the beetle, it's unlikely that you or I are going to encounter them in the field unless we are looking for them. And the same thing goes for our native species. They're cryptic, you know. You don't see them unless you're looking for them. And we're beginning to find that more are attacking the emerald ash borer. To just anticipate a question, well, if the natives are learning to do this, why do we need to release these non-native species? And the reason is, these are specialists. Their goal is to attack the emerald ash borer.
It's time for the small creatures to meet their destiny. So we motor a mile or so west to the release site. You might hear another voice in the car. That's River Edge's environmental educator, Mary Hollaback, behind the wheel. Mostly, though, you'll hear Todd Johnson as he grows increasingly excited with every tire rotation.
This is a multi-agency collaborative effort between UW, the DNR, and DATCAP, as well as USDA AFIP. And, of course, and River Edge.
We are glad to be here in the background.
But yeah, I was out there for weeks setting the plots up, but I mean, for the first couple
of
times.
Talk about that, setting up the plots.
Well, the plots are 200 by 200 square meters. We're going to the release plot. There's also a control plot, probably about a quarter to a half a mile behind the nature center.
On this side of the road and this side of the river.
Yeah. We picked an area of forest where the trees appear to not exhibit any stress symptoms or any signs of emerald ash borer. Whereas in the release site, it's infested. And, I mean, having these two sites separated gives us an idea of whether the emerald ash borer is moving between the sites, whether the wasps are. The release sites themselves, I mentioned it's 200 square meters. To get technical, it's cut up into 16 50 by 50 meter squares. In each of these squares, we assess a sample of the woody vegetation, so the trees and shrubs, you know, of a certain size. And we also mark trees, which are referred to as sentinel trees. There's three in each of the 16 cells, so they total 48. Over the 5 years, will be cut down, and their bark will be peeled. Before we peel the bark, we're going to look to see if we see any signs of emerald ash borer. And we're going to look to see if we see any signs of emerald ash borer eggs. If we do, like good scientists, we count it and we write it down. And then we peel the bark and look to see, are there emerald ash borer in the trees? How many? Are they parasitized by the wasps? If so, which ones? How many? And that will all feed into the USDA APHIS database of all these sites. And their scientists there will begin to make conclusions about where this research is going, what we're learning, etc. Really, the nuts and bolts of it were, for me, setting up flags on the ground and getting proper GPS points. So when I look at it on a computer, it looks like a square rather than a random polygon.
We arrive at our destination, and Todd Johnson bounds ahead with his cooler full of predatory wasps. That gives River Edge's Mary Hollaback a chance to talk.
The ash borer was found here in Ozaukee County in 2008, and that was found on River Edge property January of 2009. And at that point already, we were looking into how are we going to deal with this, and, you know, this was one of the methods that came to our attention, at least slowing down the spread of the ash borer. The wasps take care of the ash borer over in Asia, and, you know, there don't seem to be any drawbacks to having the wasps, you know, in this area. They aren't the stinging variety of wasps.
About a third of your forest cover is ash?
About 20%, and the property is 380 acres, and about 240 of those acres are forested. So we figure that's pretty high percentage of trees we're going to lose in the next couple of years. So, you know, in other states, they just chopped all their trees to start with. And since we're at the leading edge of the ash borer infestation, that could have happened here.
So Hollaback says River Edge jumps at the opportunity to have respected scientists test beetle control approaches under its forest canopy.
The other project that's currently going on is a UW-Madison project. Chris Williamson is using different kinds of insecticides on different age classes and different species of ash trees. They started that in 2009.
A state DNR team also experimented.
They girdled about 20 trees. Those were considered sink trees, attracting the emerald ash borer to those trees, and then they cut those trees in February 2010 to haul them out and strip the bark to see, you know, how much of an infestation we had at that point already. So
now that's over. You're not doing it.
Right.
Because it wasn't found to be as effective as you hoped
right.
it might have been.
Exactly. Yeah. They also did a biosurveillance here that was last summer. That was a similar sort of thing where they have a native wasp that actually they brought in these, you know, hives and let them do their thing, go out and search for bugs like they normally would, but they didn't find that they were bringing enough back to warrant doing that again here either.
Is this a financial investment for River Edge as well, or how does it play into the financing of the wasp release?
Actually, it's totally UW and APHIS and all these other organizations that are paying for that, yes. It's, you know, it's a giant experiment on their part, and we are benefiting by this experiment.
We pick up our pace before Todd Johnson disappears altogether in an increasingly mucky stretch of trees. It's hard to dampen his spirits, but Johnson admits field work isn't always glamorous. He remembers the day he first tried setting up the release plot.
I walked around for 3 hours in the mud. The trail was completely gone. I had to mark my path with flagging tape, and I was up like to my waist in water.
Johnson begins to strip away a section of bark from a stressed ash tree. It reveals a zigzagging pathway left by a very hungry ash borer larva.
You see how far down this gallery or the tunnels that they make is? they actually begin to feed from the top down. This is a gallery of one beetle. I mean, this probably was infested a couple of years. So, like I said, you know, there's probably not emerald ash borer chewing this tree anymore. You know, it's dying.
Johnson moves on, tapping into another ash to see what he comes up with.
Well, there's an emerald ash borer. It's actually alive. I just emerged the emerald ash borer. That's the first one I've ever seen alive.
The fledgling scientist can't resist looking for just one more emerging beetle.
I mentioned these growth degree days earlier, and this is exactly what I'm talking about. You know, they're maturing, they're flying, you know, they're going to feed for a couple weeks, and then they're going to start laying eggs. Which, in that couple weeks, that's when I will release the egg parasitoid.
You know he could go on exploring for hours, but Johnson turns to the job he's here to do and extracts one of the wasp-filled plastic cups from the cooler.
That's Spathius floridana.
Johnson wades over to one of the trees marked with bright pink ribbon.
Those are my release trees. I'm just going to bring this. I'm just going to release some of the wasps. Really simple. It's not complicated. I'm just going to open it up on the tree that I have marked as a release tree. Going to kind of let them fly out. These wasps find their host by most likely a chemosensory sort of response, so a chemical volatile, something that's in the air that they sense. And trees release things called green leaf volatiles, just naturally, natural compounds, and they're going to hone in on that. But the idea is that we just give them a little help.
The 24-year-old jumped into the emerald ash borer research pool just 1 year ago. Ultimately, he hopes to contribute to a growing body of knowledge.
There's a lot of smart people working on this that have really learned a lot, but we just don't know a lot about this beetle. Even in the literature, there's only been a couple publications in China and Japan, and they're mostly taxonomic checklists, people that just identify the beetles and classify them. There's no ecology. We don't know about its life history.
Johnson will pull on his boots to release one last batch of wasps at River Edge late this summer. His head is already buzzing with ideas as he moves into his master's studies in the fall. For Lake Effect, I'm Susan Bentz.
Susan Bentz is WUWM's environmental reporter. She spoke with research intern Todd Johnson and also with Mary Hollaback at the River Edge Nature Center near Newburgh, Wisconsin. Hollaback is River Edge's adult programs coordinator. The center's biological control program, in partnership with UW-Madison, is slated to continue until 2015. In the meantime, Todd Johnson hopes to accrue a wealth of knowledge about the likes and dislikes of wasps, both introduced and native. There's more information about the River Edge Nature Center and the Predatory Wasp Release Program on wuwm.com/lakeeffect. At the State Fair, none of the plants are unwanted. Lake Effect Stephanie Lecce gets a tour of the wonderful gardens on the grounds with our gardening contributor Melinda Myers next. It's Lake Effect on WUWM.